I want something to stick with y'all this week. You know, faith always inquires of God and seeks his face. Sometimes we like to seek other people's face and ask and inquire of them, but this is something that I heard this week. Before you go to the phone, go to the throne. All right, be big.
This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles.
Surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
responsive reading.
Read together.
O Lord, I have so many enemies. So many are against me. So many are saying, God will never rescue him. But you, O Lord, are a shield around me. You are my glory, the one who holds my head high. I cried out to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy mountain. I lay down and slept, yet I woke up in safety, for the Lord was watching over me. I am not afraid of 10,000 enemies who surround me on every side. Arise, O Lord, slap all my enemies in the face, shatter the teeth of the wicked. Victory comes from you, O Lord. May you bless your people.
May we pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for us being able to come to you and to go to you and to tell you, slap our enemies in the face, Lord. They are going against you, Lord. We know the one true living God. We know the God of creation. We know the God of the universe. We know the God who made everything, and without him, everything wasn't made. Lord, we thank you for the love that you have given us, Lord, the love to give to other people, Lord, to shine your light, Lord, and let that light, Lord, let the men see the light and let them gratify you, Lord. Let you be the one that they go to and say, thank you, Lord, for that person who said something to me and they brought me to you. Lord, may we be on that rock. Jesus, you are that rock. Lord, may we stand on that rock always, Lord, because if we're not on the rock, we're going to be shaking side to side, Lord, and falling down. But you are the one, Lord, who will continuously lift us up with your right hand. And we thank you for your love, your graciousness, your care, everything that you've ever given to us, Lord, and more. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
time for offerings. So during the next song, you can still stand. Y'all gonna sit for a while. Come on. If you need assistance, please see our deacons.
Yeah.
That your friend is the most powerful person ever. Like, your friend and my friend is so bad, so tough, that he can say light. And light just shows up. That's our friend. Give God praise today. Because it's not what we call him, but he called us. It's time for altar call. Deaconess Nicole is going to lead us to the throne. As she leads us, your list is here. Pray with her.
Amen.
Let us bow our heads. Father, in Jesus' name, we just thank you, Lord, for who you are. We thank you, Jesus, that you are who you said you were. We can count on that. Lord, right now we're coming to your throne, thanking you that when we cry out to you, when we pray, in all that we do, you hear us, you're with us. Your word says that you'll never leave us or forsake us. And we thank you for that. Lord, right now, we lift up everyone who has experienced loss and who is grieving right now. You are the God of comfort. And we can go to you for comfort. We just ask, Lord, that you give them comfort in this time. We ask, Lord, that you remind them that to be absent from the body is to be in your presence. And for their loved ones who know you, Lord, they are with you right now. And we thank you. We praise you, even in our grief. Lord, we pray for those in our church who are experiencing health issues, Lord. We know that this body is going to break down, but you promised us that we'd get a new one. We get a resurrected body like yours, Jesus, where we can live for eternity with you, healthy, whole. We thank you. Lord, we pray for our government. Lord, we know that nothing surprises you. We might be surprised, but your word says that there is nothing new under the sun. We have our ups, we have our downs, but ultimately, Lord, you are God always and through it all. You are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And when we can't look to our government, we can look to our King, who has promised to set everything right. I can't forget about the time that I asked, Lord, why is this world just going crazy? And I remember that our teacher, Janice, she said that just like we are being redeemed, this world is being redeemed. And let us not forget that you've redeemed this world. And it's a process. And that we're coming. You're putting things back in order, and we're thankful for that. You said that when we see these things that we should rejoice. And so we thank you. Ultimately, Lord, we just thank you for your son, Jesus. we can't help but to forget that we couldn't even come to your throne. We couldn't even cry out to you. We couldn't even find our way without Jesus. He lived. He died. He was buried. He rose again. He walked among the living for 40 days. There is so much evidence that he is who he said he was. And we're just so grateful, Holy Spirit, that you revealed that to us. That we're your friend. You call us your friend. You wanted us to be in your presence. When there was no one else who could make that happen, Jesus, you put on flesh and said that you would do it. Our God rescued us. Our God gave us salvation. Salvation cannot be found in no other name under heaven or earth. And so we say hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Gave them the Sunday off. I'm special because something I want to share with you all. And this, in early 2019, on one of the many days I was at the end of my rope. Early, like first thing in the morning, I woke up at the end of the rope. I got an email. We get a lot of emails in ministry especially. And it linked me to a video and a song. And this song has blessed me over and over and over and over. And so today, I'm going to do a little something different. Instead of us singing, I want you to be ministered to by our sister Nicole C. Mullen in conjunction with Kathy Lee Griffin in one of the most beautiful songs I have heard in a long time. Just making sure everything is up.
A single mother. She was abandoned by the family she belonged to. And there in the wilderness with her son alone, with very little provision, she was wondering. She was questioning. she loved him. Oh, how she loved him. But then she watched as they nailed him to the cross, and as they placed his body in the tomb. In that moment, her hope died. It died. She's crying in the garden. She's broken in despair. She's searching for herself.
Did for me then and every day since then, that we serve a God who sees us. Because we live in a world where people don't see us. They see our color. They see our gender. They see our brokenness. They see our heartache. They see our mess. They see our struggle. But they don't see us as human beings. As Imago Dei, those who were created in the very image of the one true living God. But he sees us. He sees us. And not only does he see us, we read and we heard, he hears us. Hagar didn't know him. She was a slave to Abraham and Sarah. From Egypt, she knew gods. She knew statues. But at her worst time, when she thought it was over, he came to her and she said, "You are the God who sees." So Lord, we worship you today. Nobody else gets this throne. We're displacing all of our little idols because we all got them. And we're coming to you at this time as you are working in your body to fix things, to redeem, restore, and renew, even right now, even though we don't actually all the time see it. We are all sitting here who know you as living testimony that you saw us and you have started fixing us. And according to your word, you will not stop until the day we see Jesus. So right now we're sitting at your feet to learn about him and how he sees women. So in his name we pray. Amen. This has been a wonderful month, but it has been a hard month. I at first thought, you know, just maybe it was just getting older, that some stuff been happening. I'm glad y'all are here, because I'm going to need y'all help today. But I honestly had to stop and recognize that sometimes attacks aren't just physical. Sometimes they're spiritual. Because after I preached my first sermon in the month and was encouraging my sisters, and we got together online and we prayed together, Lauren and Sarah, again, God to glory. Give them hand, these two young ladies. That's the future. They right now, but they the future. I'll be 60 next year. I ain't going to be around here for long. Trust me. Trust me. I ain't trying to stay here till 100. Seen enough. But anyway, after that, I woke up and I was having muscle spasms. Horrible. I have not had muscle spasms in my back in years. And I really thought, you know, maybe I, you know, bent over wrong, sneezed, something. But then I started praying. And the more I prayed, the more relief came. Even God used medicine. Mother Marilyn helped me out a little bit to get through some of the rough spots. But relief came and finally let up. But it's just been like one thing after another, two flat tires, just crazy stuff. Why? Because God is doing something, y'all. We have got to get this male-female relationship thing fixed right. Because the world is trying to give its fix. Well, if you don't want to be who you are, just be what you want to be. Not realizing that's an attack against what God has created. He created them, male and female. He called one Adam. He called the other one Ezer Connector, suitable helper. Ezer Connector. You missed that week. Go back. Pick it up. That's the Hebrew word that he meant when God created woman. Woman. And that meant helper suitable. Ezer. We'll get back to it. Side by side. A warrior. Someone who can do what you can't do, man. Wow, that's not bad. I ain't hating. This is not a hating message. This is getting stuff correct. Because when you want to know what stuff's supposed to be about, you got to go back to the beginning. What God said. And then we have suitable. That means she's an equal. She's a face-to-face, somebody who you can look at each other in between the two of you all. And the killing part is, even though a lot of people label their marriages like complementary or egalitarian or all these other fancy words, most marriages actually, if they're good marriages, they function where you do what you're good at, I do what I'm good at, you stay in your lane, I stay in my lane, and together we work this thing together. With that being said, when we have to know how we're supposed to act as human beings, we need to look at the perfect human being. Because there's only been one. And his name is?
Jesus.
So let's go to Luke chapter 10 today. I mean, sorry, chapter 13. I'm reading in the English Standard Version, which is clear enough for it because it's in English. Luke chapter 13, and I want to read one of those odd little stories that we probably blow through and pull out these nuggets of how Jesus saw women. Luke chapter 13, and I'm going to read verses 10 through 17. And it reads as follows. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman who had a disabling spirit for 18 years. No, it was not a child. She was bent over and could not fully straighten herself. Bent over for 18 years and couldn't stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said to her, "Woman, you are freed from your disability." And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight, and she glorified God. But the ruler of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, said to the people, "There are 6 days in the which people, there are 6 days in which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day." Then the Lord answered him, "You hypocrites, do not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to water it? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day?" As he said these things, all his adversaries were put to shame, and all the people rejoiced at all the glorious things that were done by him. This woman, bent over 18 years, and it specifically says by a disabling spirit. And then Jesus clarifies, she was bound by Satan for 18 years. So for 18 years, she saw nothing above the waist. Everything hurt. Her neck hurt. Her legs hurt. Her back hurt. Everything hurt. And all she could walk around in the community, maybe on two canes. We've seen people bent over like this. Maybe on two sticks in her case, because they didn't have all the insurance benefits that we have today. And all she saw was the ground, people's dirty feet. She couldn't even look into the eyes of her own family. She couldn't look at people's faces. She couldn't see Jesus, but he saw her. See, the synagogue is their version of church. All the good Jewish people go on, and they sit there, and they listen to the word taught by the leaders. So Jesus comes to church, and he's the special guest speaker that Sunday, or that Sabbath. And at that day, he saw her. But he didn't just see her. He acknowledged her. Because see, we see people all the time, but we don't look at people. We see us all looking clean and good and nice, but we don't look at people and look in people's eyes to see what's going on with them. We don't look at their shoulders and their body posture to see that they might not be feeling it today. I know, Danielle, you're a teacher. You know, you can look at your kids and you can say, "Today is not going to be a good day." If you're paying attention, if you see them. So Jesus saw her and he acknowledged not only her condition, but her humanity as one worthy of being seen by him. Of one worthy of being acknowledged by Jesus. And then Jesus set her free from her disabling spirit. Because he said, "Woman," as her connecto. He called her what she is, not what she was. He didn't call her crippled. He didn't call her crazy. He didn't call her possessed. He called her woman. He called her what God called her. Suitable helper. And just alone, I'm sure that set her free. Because somebody saw me and acknowledged me and my humanity. And then he did something else crazy. He touched her. He laid his hand on her. Because see, a lot of times we'll see people, we'll acknowledge people. But it's COVID. I ain't touching you. Get your 6 feet back. You might have monkeypox. I don't know where you've been. I ain't trying to get nothing on me. I don't want what you got. But Jesus touched her. Because that spirit that was disabling her, first of all, had no power over him whatsoever. Because he was perfect, sinless. And he even said it himself in the book of John, the prince of this world is here, and he running stuff crazy, but he ain't got no power over me. He touched her. He touched a woman who was bound by Satan. Everybody in that synagogue knew. 18 years, how did they not know? I don't remember her falling off her camel or her donkey. I don't remember her falling off the roof. Some must be up, because they were so superstitious, and you know, everything was, must be a demon. They blind, must be a demon, must be some sin. They crazy, must be some sin. They sick, must be some sin. They believe that, remember? Guy born blind? Jesus, who sinned? This man is, or this man's parents? And he said, no, that God may be glorified. So she was bound by Satan, and he touched her. But then he went further, because here come the religious folks. Don't come up here trying to get healed on Sunday. We got Monday. We do all that the rest of the week. We not breaking the law by touching nobody and healing nobody on the Sabbath day. Are you kidding? Because there were two schools, Shammai and Hillel, were big schools. It's like Harvard and Yale. If you were in Shammai's court, you do nothing on the Sabbath. You don't even blow dust. You better not hardly sneeze and try to wipe your mouth. That's work. But if you were in Hillel school, it was a little bit, hey, it's a Sabbath, do what you want. So here Jesus is like, first of all, leave this woman alone. Because you notice it said, the ruler addressed the people. In other words, I'm talking about her, but I'm telling the rest of y'all too. But I'm really trying to say this to her. Don't come up in here trying to get healed on the Sabbath, but I'm talking to y'all. But Jesus saw through it. He said, you hypocrite. You two-faced. You say you love God, but you don't love people. He defended her. He defended her. Because see, they'd have bounced her out of the synagogue. Coming up in here on the Sabbath getting healed. Get out of here. We do that the rest of the week. But Jesus defended her. You hypocrites. You know good and well. You take your donkey outside and you give him some water. You know you turn on, you know good and well you don't follow the letter of the law. You know this. You present it to people as if you do though. And then he said this beautiful thing. He restored her dignity by saying in verse 16, and ought not this woman, and see, you tried to be general, but Jesus is being specific. This woman, a daughter of Abraham, family, God's chosen people, and he calls her daughter. That's relationship. This family member of ours, doesn't she, who has been bound by her enemy, deserve to be set free on this day? You see, he restored her dignity, her status in the kingdom, her ezekinego, and he restored a relationship, and then he released her on the same day that God called Israel to rest from their bondage. See, the Sabbath was given, and everybody always equates it to, it truly relates back to where God rested on the seventh day because all the work was done. But in their case, they were enslaved for over 400 years. They did not get a day off. So when they got in the wilderness, when God gave them the law, the first thing God said is, in those, the Decalogue as we call it, Ten Commandments, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. What is he saying? Take a day off. Don't be a slave. Take a day off. I've set you free. I'm talking to somebody. Because some of us think we got work 7 days a week, 56 hours a day, and 80,000 hours a week. And then after we start doing it and the company starts demanding that you do it, now I'm going to lose my job if I don't go. But God said, take a day off. Because I've set you free from struggling to save yourself, first of all. And I've set you free from the systems of this world because your king rules from another kingdom. Okay, that was free. That's not on the paper. Back to this woman. Not only did he restore her, he shamed her adversaries. It says right there in the text, in verse 17, and as he said these things, all his adversaries were put to shame. Because not only was the one talking, it was a whole bunch more sitting there thinking. Because you know the Pharisees were always running around trying to figure out who is this dude and what right does he have. We saw in this, Lord, slap my enemies in the face. He slapped the enemy in the face because first of all, he slapped Satan in the face because he released this woman with just a word. He didn't go through no hocus pocus. Bring your prayer cloth, sow your seed, get your oil, go dip in the Jordan, chili Jordan. Is a Jordan chili 55? He didn't do none of that. He said, woman, you are free from your disability. Don't fall for this foolishness. It is not, if Jesus didn't do it, why are we doing it? Back to the text. Get back in your box because you know you got issues. Okay? He shamed their adversaries. He slapped Satan in the face and then he slapped everybody in the face that was condemning her for coming to get healed on the very day that God determined that you were healed. That was Jesus and this woman. And I got some more women because I got a little more time. Just a little more time. In Luke 7, there are two women. One of them was the widow of Nain. Widow, that means her husband is, he dead. Her only son dies. So that meant all family property, if they had any, went back to his family, the father's family. She was left destitute. I've actually seen this in practice in Kenya where I was staying at a place one night in like a whole week. I was like, what are these people doing all night? They were partying and everything. Smelled barbecue all night, which you know kept me up because and so the next day they explained that the custom was because the land belonged to the man, when he died, his family comes into the land, to the house where the woman was, and they kill off all the animals and barbecue them, and they take all of his stuff and the property and they kick her out. So she's either got to go back to her family or she's gonna be in the streets begging. That's this woman in the widow of Nain. She's either gonna have to go back to her family, and if she got a superstitious family, if her husband and her son, or your husband and your son died, she must be cursed. It's her. And while they're taking the son to his burial, they've had a good funeral, here comes Jesus. And he sees this woman, he sees her condition, he acknowledges that her son is dead, and he raised him up. He restored her. He made her whole. And he didn't even say a word. Because he's the God who sees. Then there's this other woman. Sinful woman. I like this chick. Not because she's sinful, but her response in Luke 7. She was sinful. She who was so moved. Jesus was having dinner with some monkey mucks, Pharisees, and some other people. Y'all know the story. Nobody washed his feet when he came in. Here this woman comes into the house, cries all over Jesus, puts some ointment on his hair, because, you know, they like us. We can't be out here in the sun too long without putting a little ointment or a little oil on our head, because we got similar hair texture. She puts ointment on, and then she cries tears. Well, she actually poured her tears on his feet, and she took down her hair and wiped his feet with her hair. That was shameful in their culture for, first of all, a woman to expose her hair and then to take it down and wipe somebody's nasty feet. And of course, the Pharisees, if he only knew who this chick was. I began to wonder about this chick. How did she show up? Why was she around Jesus? Because if you look in Luke, a couple chapters ahead, before that, when Luke called Levi, Matthew, the tax collector, he went to his house to eat, and it said that Jesus was there eating with tax collectors and sinners. Which means, just like now, if you go down to one of these ratchet rappers' place, it's going to be some grimy business folks, and then it's going to be plenty of the Cardi B girls, you know? Some folks know what I'm talking about. Some sinful women. See, nowadays we do it a little bit different. And for a little extra, we get a little VIP treatment. That was this woman in her day. And so that's where I think she came to know Jesus. Because she said, wait a minute, if Jesus is taking in Matthew and eating with these people, what about me? So I think she was following Jesus around. And when she saw that nobody had washed his feet, she said, I'm doing it. Because this man took me from being that girl over there. I'm just cleaning it up. And he looked at me as a connector. And then Jesus did not acknowledge her condition, because the Pharisees are like, this kind of woman, sinful, he only knew. And he went on to explain to them, look, people who've been forgiven little, do little. That's why you got to examine yourself. Because if you sit around all day saying, well, I had a pretty good day, I didn't sin, then you don't have much to praise God for. Because you're like, I was good today. But when you start really thinking about, after that third thing, you go, you know what, dude, I'm just on my face. Thank you, Lord. He said, this woman, her sins are many. So she didn't care about her reputation anymore. She didn't care about what people said. She washed the feet of the one who set her free. This woman. Then there's another woman in the Bible in John chapter 4 who gets a bad rep. And I'm going to explain why. That Samaritan woman, that woman at the well. I've even preached wrong about her. I've taught wrong and I've confessed and repented because I'm going to teach it right. Jesus saw that woman, first of all, at the well. He was there on assignment. Nobody sits out in the Middle East. You've been in the Middle East. You know, nobody's sitting outside at 12 o'clock noon. Too hot. After 121 the one time, I was like, Lord, the devil is here. It's hot. It's so hot you don't even sweat. That's how hot it is. And this woman coming to get her water at noon, but Jesus is sitting there waiting on her. He purposely stopped there. And he acknowledged this woman and he didn't overlook her condition. Because he asked her, go get your husband. Not married. You right. You living with a man right now. And you've had five husbands. But here's the deal. Most of us think that the woman had five husbands because she was that over there. Women couldn't get a divorce in that day. Women were forbidden from getting divorces in that day. They had no rights. So that means 5 men had divorced her. And then depending on which school you went, Shammai or Hillel, if you were in Shammai school, no divorce for any reason. I don't care if he's knocking the stew out of you, stolen all the money, cheating all over the place, you can't get a divorce. Woman, she couldn't get a divorce anyway. But if you were in Hillel, you could divorce her for any reason. She burnt the lamb. I'm getting a divorce. Her hair's not as long as I wanted it to be. I'm getting a divorce. She's not good in bed. I'm getting a divorce. She can't give me children. I'm getting a divorce. So this woman was divorced by 5 different men. The shame, because everyone would look at her as unworthy. It's her. She's the problem. But Jesus saw her, and he acknowledged her condition. And then he did something that nobody was expecting. She said, you know, because this is an uncomfortable conversation, but first, where we worship at, you know, y'all people say, and he said, you know, they didn't worship God, gonna worship God in spirit and in truth. It's not about where, it's about how. And he said, she said, you know, when Messiah comes, because we believe in Messiah coming, he's gonna teach us all things. And then he hit her with this one. The one you are speaking to is the Messiah. This woman, divorced 5 times, living with a man, in a sinful condition, going to get water at noon because she got tired of the gossip and the shame that was the community had put upon her. Jesus revealed to her what he had not revealed to anybody else, that he was the Messiah. And on top of it, by the way, she was a Samaritan. The sworn enemies of the Jews. He saw her. He acknowledged her condition. And he set her free by telling her the truth about who he was and how God would be truly worshipped. And so we know the story. That's when we get happy. Come see a man. She ain't had no shame after that. Why? Because Jesus set her free. Jesus restored her back to the community. Because after what happened? After she told, the community went out to see what she was talking about. The same community that shamed her was now listening to her and following her, restored. And then they heard from Jesus. And when they heard from Jesus, they said, not only do we believe because of her testimony, but we have heard it for ourselves. But if she didn't have a testimony, they would have never heard it. And then this final woman in John chapter 8. There's a question about whether this is actually in original manuscripts. Who cares? We got the story and we can learn from it. Woman caught in adultery. Jesus is at the temple. We always question, where was the man? I believe he was in the crowd. I believe it was a setup. And when Jesus saw her, she was a woman. The rabbis prayed, thank God I'm not a Gentile or a woman. So when they caught her in adultery, you think they said, get up, get dressed, we're going to the temple. Because they didn't see her as Ezra Connect up. You know, they snatched her up in whatever she might have been wearing or not wearing. Because the purpose was shame. Because that's what we like to do to people when they caught in sin. We like to shame them. And they threw her at the feet of Jesus because they want to get at Jesus. They don't care about her. They're just using her. And the beautiful part about this is it said that when she got put before them and the question was asked, while they were pointing and ready to pick up rocks, Jesus was looking down. We don't know what he wrote, but I think one of the reasons was Jesus was looking down because he was not going to shame her by looking at her in her condition. I think he had compassion on her situation. Because again, he believes in Ezra Konegdo. And Ezra Konegdo don't get treated like trash. and he acknowledged her sin because she committed adultery. Then look at verses, go to John chapter 8, and I want you to see this, because this was one of the most, there's a lot of stuff in the Bible, I just go, whoa, Jesus. Literally. John chapter 8, and verses 9 through 11 reads as follows. You know, he told the men, okay, whoever here is without sin, you go first. You stone her. And they said, from the oldest to the youngest, because the old folks know, oh yeah, I'm a, matter of fact, when they threw her down there, I was looking, so. And Jesus said, but when they, verse 9 says, but when they heard it, they went away one by one, beginning with the older ones, and Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him. Jesus stood up and said to her, woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? And she said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said, neither do I condemn you. The one who knew no sin, who could have been the only one to pick up a rock and stone this woman because he was without sin, looked at her and said, I don't condemn you. Then he told her, go, and from now on, sin no more. She was facing a death sentence, and nobody would have stopped her. She's a woman. She's expendable. Her husband can go get another one before Sabbath next week. And Jesus, being who he is, said, I don't condemn you either. Come on back, class. See, these women, each one of them, they had issues. They had sin issues. They had culture issues. They had life issues. We don't know their backstories fully. They had issues. But Jesus restored them because he's the creator. And when he created Eve and he formed her from Adam's womb with her name, and he called her Ezer Konegdo, helper suitable, he created somebody to walk side by side with the man, not behind him, not under him, not above him, but by his side. Because we're in a fight. And also somebody who could do what he could not do by himself. He needs her. And also somebody who can face to face. Because I'm not going to go home and face to face with the big bully, the dog. Because he's a dog. He can't tell me nothing. He's very compassionate, though. If you cry, he will come and attend to you. But other than that, he can't ask, what's going on? Why do you look so sad? Why are you angry? He can't do any of that. All he does is respond. But another person just like you can look at you and say, what's going on with you? Why are you acting like that? What happened at work today? Who said something to you? Who do I need to go see? What chick talked to you, honey? Oh, baby, nah, that ain't happening. See, because we got to be just like that, just like men are like us, because we side by side, baby, together, in every area, not just in the marriage area, in life, on the job. Most of y'all know, if it wasn't no women on the job, no work would ever get done. I'm saying. Look, Alice is an executive assistant. There ain't nothing getting done up there if she ain't, everybody call her. From the lowest to the high, everybody call her. But she works side by side, face to face, with a man. And they getting it done. It ain't pretty, it ain't perfect, because it's a whole bunch of other people ain't got on board with Ezra Konegdo and True Purpose either. But when you are in Christ, you have been made a new creation. In other words, you have been restored back to the beginning, not Genesis 3, where you're contrary to each other. This is where we got to get the truth in. Even though we live in this flesh, we are not bound by Satan anymore because we have transferred kingdom. He has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Back to the beginning, where he placed them in the garden and he said, let them rule together, doing what only they can do, because the animals can't do it. The fish can't do it. The birds can't do it. But they can do it together. But see, the enemy knows if I can divide them and get them fighting each other like Adam and Eve started fighting each other right after they fell, then I can mess up this whole thing. And I can mess up the generation that comes. So Cain kills Abel. And then before you know it, you got all kinds of weirdness going on where women are being brutalized and raped and murdered and nobody's taking them up and treating them as equals. And women eventually get to the place when you get to Corinth, if you ever read how crazy that mess was, where women were running around like we got today trying to be men because the identity got messed up. God said, interconnecta. The world says, whatever you feel like. And if you're with the wrong man, they'll say, she's your possession, just like she has to obey me. She's not your child. I'm gonna be blunt. You don't sleep with your child. And I'm not talking about in the slumber way. You sleep with an equal partner. Because together you can reproduce, you can be fruitful and multiply. Why am I pushing this? Something has been wrong in the house of God for too long. And it's not about women standing up here and preaching. It is about women and men doing the work of the kingdom together. And we can't do it together if some of us are shackled in the back room cooking in the kitchen all the time. And then we let men who should probably be in the kitchen, because they're better in the kitchen than in this spot. But see, oh, he's a man, therefore he must preach. Really? I didn't know when the gifts of the Spirit were given to a gender. And see, if you question whether or not I'm right, look unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. He showed you how many women. We talk about Abigail and how God raised her up and blessed her when she was married to fool. She talked about Mary Magdalene, the apostle to the apostles. That's the title that's actually used of her, because she was the first person to bear the good news that he has risen from the dead. And they didn't believe her. They had to go see for themselves. Then they went back and hid because they were kind of like, okay, maybe. So Jesus had to come himself and start showing up to them. Because they were so conditioned that you can't take the word of a woman. My brothers, there are young men around you. There are young men coming up with you. We can't keep doing business as usual. And if you want to be a good, strong, God-walking, Christ-following man, because it's not about just obeying, you need to follow Jesus. You can't just say, God said it, I believe it, that settled it. No, get to walking in it. Follow Jesus. Because guess what? Following Jesus is going to put you on a cross. You're going to have to sacrifice. And then women, let's stop trying to be the boss. Together we're supposed to be getting this done. I respect the military because they taught us authority, but without each person in that chain, it's not getting done. So we respect position. If you're doing this and my job is to do this, I'm going to do my job and I'm going to help you do your job. But I can't do your job and my job. It's too much. And the church is the main place where it needs to start. Men can't keep going out here witnessing to women. Why? First of all, they're not one. So, we no gang. Second, when women who are broken see men, they're looking for somebody to rescue them. And so if they're coming to you with their problems, they're looking for a savior, man. And there's only one savior. So that's why you need Ezra Connect Goes. Because we share experiences and we can talk to her about the savior from our experiences. That's the help we do. You think the SBC would be facing a federal investigation if they had have done it the right way? Look it up. A whole denomination being investigated because they have over 700 cases of sexual and child abuse that were unreported. Because they refuse to let women, Ezra Connect Goes, who are following Jesus, serve next to them, side by side. And when they mess up face to face, dude, stop that. Stop talking to her. She can't counsel with you. She got counsel with me. Or we gonna counsel with her together. We gotta provide safety for each other. We're not gonna get it done until we come together. Because a house divided against itself cannot stand. But God, in the beginning, created us, male and female, as a connecto and Adam, Adon, and he said, let them rule. Them. All this other stuff, our enemy has done a good job putting it into everybody's life. We follow the culture more than we follow the Christ. But brothers of Christ, I'm praying, hoping. We already got a good start because we have a pastor who believes in giftings above gender. But each one of us have to search our own hearts and get it next to Jesus. They made fun of those kids. What would Jesus do? Well, I got a question. What did Jesus do when he was faced with women? And my sisters, Ezra Connecta. That's what he said. That's what God said. You are not to humiliate yourself to walk with any man. You need to be a helper, warrior, side by side, suitable helper, face to face in this fight. Don't settle for anything less. And you don't have to push it. All you have to do is walk in it. I pray you've been blessed this month. I pray that it screws up your thinking and challenges you. After the last sermon, I had somebody say, you know, that's controversial. I said, yeah, but it's in the book. It's a whole book's controversial. This is radical to live the way God created in the beginning. But it's good because our Jesus was the biggest radical ever. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We definitely thank you for Jesus. We thank you for this word. We thank you for his example. And because we don't have to sit up here and try to figure it out and keep repeating patterns of history and tradition over and over again, we can look to Jesus. And we can look to the beginning. And we can see how you are in the process of restoring and renewing and redeeming all that you've created, even us. Lord, we pray that we submit to you, we follow you, we challenge what is not of you and cast it out, and then we start living for you. This world needs to see this. They need to see love and compassionate male and female, especially in a world where they're telling people they can be whatever they want to be. And it's confusing. And we know who authors that. But we thank you because you are the true author of life. And because of you, we have life. We bless you. We love you. We adore and worship you in the name of the one who gave it all. Our blessed, your blessed son, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Most of us know it, but what it really breaks down to is this. The people that worked at the temple received what was offered at the temple, at the altar. The people that worked in the temple shared in what was brought to the temple. 14 tells us, in the same way, those that preach the gospel receive, share in what is brought the offering. Bottom line, we're called to support those that preach the gospel. We're going to take a ball for the preacher.
All right.
And while they're doing that, got a song to teach y'all. Where Naomi at? She gone. Where Alice at? Alice, come help me do this. She knows this song. Alice, not Alex.
Oh.
Alex would be like, no, she ain't talking to me, so. When my August birthday's at? You know, my fave had a birthday on the 17th, and Alice had a birthday on the 17th. Who else? And Robin had a birthday of the day. I'm sorry, Robin, where she at? She downstairs too. All right, all those other August birthdays. Mary had a birthday in August. So on Mother Louisa. Okay. She used to have them. She'll tell you right now, Crystal. She like, I ain't getting old no more. I ain't got no more birthdays. All right. So happy birthday to you. Oh, this is a song we learned a long time ago. We sang it once, so we're gonna be doing this on the last Sunday of the month, every month from now on. It goes, oh, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Each day of the year, may you find Jesus near. Oh, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. May his love, peace, and blessing shower you. Oh, yeah, may his love, peace, and blessing shower you.
All right,
so we'll be doing it.
Good morning. Just a couple reminders. Make sure to check the back table. Don't forget Bible class on Wednesday. Don't forget bring back the family today at 4:00. The questions, I'm not sure who's teaching this week on Wednesday. Isaiah chapters 21.
That would be Sarah.
Sarah, okay. Isaiah chapters 21 to 26. Just want to say, yesterday, for those of you who weren't at our open house, it was amazing. We had so much fun. Food, the weather cooperated. It was really just a beautiful time. So thank you to everybody who participated, coordinated, did stuff, brought stuff. It was wonderful, amen? And I just have a card to read that says thank you. It says, preachers, deacons, mothers, executive board, directors, and members. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. I'm sorry. I would like to thank you for the cards, phone calls, text messages, thoughts, and concerns during my youngest brother Jason's homegoing on last Friday. Your prayers were heartfelt and mostly needed by me and my family. Continue to pray for us as we adjust to God's calling. Your pastor, Gerald M. Overall, Mother Cheryl, Mother Persia, and the Overall family. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Also, anybody who does anything on Sunday morning, whether you read announcements, praise team, do offering, in other words, deacons and folks, I need to meet with you all right after church to talk about some changes that we're making on our Sunday morning service, effective next Sunday. Come, if don't come, you're going to miss it. It's going to be some good stuff happening, but we need to do some housekeeping things, if you would. Where's the junior praise team? No junior praise team? All right, stand on your feet. up here. Let's get our benediction. May the love of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide henceforth, now and forevermore. All God's people say.
Amen.
Those who participate on Sunday morning. So, if you don't do anything during Sunday morning worship service other than help sing,